This is the place where sports opinions collide, dead in sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inge. We are back. Joining me, I have Nick. Nick is with us. Bifo's here. Shelton's here. And Spike.
What's going on?
Got the whole game, man. We definitely will get into... We're going to talk about some things that we missed while we were gone for show. And we're going to look ahead and start our NFL preview moving forward, where we every year rank the different positions that are in the NFL. Starting tonight, it will be with the secondary. So safeties and cornerbacks.
I got something to say, man. Nick, you gonna stop disrespecting the positions, bro. You're gonna stop disrespecting the positions. Because, all right, first off, I did two separate lists, but not on purpose. I read it wrong.
I don't know how you could have read it wrong.
Because I skimmed it. Because I didn't like read it. I saw it. I said, all right, bet. Boom, I got it. I'm on it. And I saw two separate lists. I was like, all right, bet. But look, we need two separate lists.
We don't.
You can't yes, we do, because they do two different things.
People wonder if it's a dog.
Yeah, man. But I had to mute real quick. But nah, man, look, they do two different things. You can't just quantify them on one list.
Bruh, no one cares about safeties. there's not 10 God. Safeties that anybody knows.
Yes, there is. Yeah, yes, there is.
I was thinking you had to do five safeties if you do them safeties up people. There's not 10.
There's not 10. I'm sorry.
I was looking at it like, if you are building a team, FIFO, who are the top defensive backs that you would take, including safeties and corners? That's a way to make the list make sense.
That's whack. Like, they all play something different. They all bring something different to the table. So we should highlight what they do.
Let's say you're building your defensive backfield, though. You know what positions are most important to you and what skill set is going to stand out the most. So you those players rank higher than the other players, and you go build it from there.
This was more challenging too, man. this was a lot more challenging exercise, and that made it more fun. You had to think about different positions and which one brought more value to the table.
Like, which one is most valuable? Corner is more valuable. You can have a safety number one, right? So, like, yeah, that was more part valuable. Of the exercise
but,
too, I think.
But that's not fair to safeties, because there are There's not.
They less important. There's a couple more corners that you're gonna take.
Okay, but we're analyzing sports. So put your big boy pants on and go look at safeties and be like, who's better, who and why, and why not?
But what made it fun for me was putting the Cal Hamilton versus the Patrick Surtain. You know what I'm saying? That's fun to me.
Like, which one more value?
Right.
Then you might as well just have all cornerbacks.
No, not necessarily.
I can take Michael Fitzpatrick over a lot of cornerbacks.
Over a top 10 corner in the league, you could take Minka.
Yes. Yeah. Minka changed.
Absolutely.
Minka
with some games. He changes games. We seen it. We all sit there and said that last year.
Minka ain't changing shit. I was about to say we could talk about safeties all the time, bro. You already know how I feel, bro. There's only about three of them that shouldn't even be mentioned. The rest is Mr. Irrelevant.
Okay. But before we get into all that, we're gonna talk about the Olympics. And then I wanna talk about Summer League a little bit too. So let's go ahead and get started with our opening question of the night. Thoughts on the Olympic team, how Team USA is performing in the exhibition games, which the last game was yesterday, right?
Germany.
Yeah, okay. What do you guys thought, man? The last couple of games have been nail biters.
LeBron still is the standard for American basketball, which is crazy to see him, you know, still be the guy amongst all the guys. Because now we can't say, oh, well, LeBron isn't relevant, this, that, and the third. We're seeing it. We're seeing how relevant he is. And I think the biggest thing that I'm taking away from it is like, what is basketball going to be when LeBron is gone? But in terms of this team, I'm not too worried. I think I was more shocked by South Sudan and how they was playing. And you look at the type of athletes that they got. You know what I'm saying? They just don't have the skill set yet. I don't know if y'all heard, but Stephen A. Smith was talking about how they don't have no indoor courts out there. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So you already know everybody here done play basketball, especially out in, you know, the elements. If that's all you got, you know, you got to dig deeper when you're working out, like dealing with that sun, dealing with that heat. And they left it all out there on the line. You know what I'm saying? But I think that, you know, when the lights are the brightest, I think we have three of the best to ever do it. LeBron, Steph, and KD on the squad. We got a youngin, Anthony Edwards, that says he's the number one option. And I love his mentality. I've been saying that. So I think they'll be fine. I think the world has caught up. You know what I'm saying? So there are going to be some closer games. But for the most part, I think it should be unquestioned that they're going to get gold.
Unquestioned?
I can't necessarily say that, people. What stood out to me most was two things. One is the fact that those other teams have been playing together a lot longer, and you can see it now. You know, our guys, you know, they get out there and they just go because they're the greatest in the world. But to actually go out there and play together means sometimes just as much as the talent you have individually. And the second thing is that the world is catching up. So we already know that when we look at the draft and when we look at what's going on in basketball in general with, you know, top 10 lists as players go and championships and things of that nature, but to actually physically see it is another thing all in itself. So the world is catching up. I can't say, FIFO, for sure that gold is a foregone conclusion, because once again, you still got to play the game. And another big thing that stood out was 3-point shooting, which if Steph ain't on, then we in trouble, because these other places and other countries are catching up. So it's not a foregone conclusion that we're going to be champs. Put it that way.
That's crazy. Because Shelton, all the points you made, I agree with, right? Like these teams have played together longer, and you see it, you know, with the cohesion, with the chemistry, with the backdoor, with the trust on the court, where we're seeing USA basketball build that. But at the end of the day, I think the way that this team is constructed, and you brought up 3-point shooting. I think 3-point shooting shouldn't be an issue. Overall, KD still hasn't played yet, right? And he's one of the best shooters to ever do it. And Edwards has been, you know, say on the up and up. D-Book, I don't know, you've been seeing D-Book in USA basketball. That it looked like he can't miss. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm Shelton. At the end of the day, I think it's going to be very difficult for all those guys to be cold at the same time. Jason Tatum, Bron, like Bron is a 40% 3-point shooter. You know, like I don't see it. Now, I think there are going to be some close games. They might win by one or two, but I'm just saying that they should be the favorite. Are they not the unquestioned favorite?
They the favorite, but it ain't no way them boys should be over there losing or even have 1 or 2 point games. This should be a complete blowout.
Every game
should be a complete blowout. Every game should be a complete blowout. So when you go to the Olympics, all the other categories, everybody swimming, track and field, all of those players, this is the ultimate stage for in which they compete. With basketball, like this is just this is a summer league thing for these dudes. I'm not even interested in them being over there because it's only one of two extremes. Either they lose and people are outraged and, oh, the U.S. doesn't care, or they win and everybody says they're supposed to do it anyway. I feel like for the sake of basketball, they should have the college kids over there. Like Cooper Flagg should be the one leading this team and all the rest of the college players, so we'll get to know them. One of the biggest problems with college basketball from a men's perspective is we don't know anybody, so we don't care about college basketball. It should be 22 and under. I know LeBron James is better than everybody
else in the world.
Even at 40. This is not interesting. Nothing about this is interesting, whether they win or lose.
A 22-year-old college kid can't beat a European pro that's 36. That's 28.
That's on a 22-year-old college kid. I ain't got anything to do with that, bro. Like, America's supposed to be that much better. America's supposed to be that good.
They're not anymore.
Over there, let them play. But that's the point. Look, we're not.
That's why they're there now, Luke. That's why they're playing there now. We tried.
Right. Right. So my point is, the reason when you're naming the best players in the NBA, you're naming Luka, Embiid, Giannis, Jokic, all of these players are from foreign countries because they start working on their skills a lot sooner. We send our pros over there to play against their pros, and no one is getting better.
No,
we need younger players over there so we can get them on a major stage and they get used to this.
Spike, that's not true. Embiid didn't pick up a basketball until 14, 15 years old when he got to America in high school because he was a soccer player. His soccer coach told him, bro, you too big. You know what I'm saying?
And a lot of the NBA. All I was saying is
Pascal Siakam. No, I understand.
And he plays on the American team, by the way.
He does.
That's another story.
That African. So, yeah.
But I'm saying Serge Ibaka plays with Spain. Or he played with Spain. I just think it'd be much more.
This would be much more entertaining if college kids was playing. I don't care if they get smoked. I would much rather get to know them and see the younger players. Like, this is not interesting. Like, yes, LeBron James should be dominating these games and taking over in the end. We've seen him do this shit for 23 years. Yes,
they're supposed to win, bro. No, wait, hold on. Because you'd have had that same energy during the regular season, Spike. So don't switch up now. Man. Don't switch up now that LeBron is supposed to be doing stuff. I'm only speaking
on the Olympics, though. I'm speaking on the Olympics.
I will say this. I don't know where the hell Lou was going until he brought up the last point. I do agree that we do need to be more creative and inventive with how we bring up the next generation. Because the one thing I will say the two things I will say is that one, after LeBron leaves, I don't know what the hell Team USA gonna look like moving forward, because we don't really have a bona fide superstar moving forward. I know you're talking about Steph. KD ain't even playing. Steph is on the decline. I do like Ant, but like, if you remove LeBron, KD, and Steph from this team and you go with the young guns, we probably lose a couple of those exhibition games. And two, in the next 3 to 5 years, or probably by the next Olympics, bro, we're not going to be the favorites. Like, it's just going to be point blank, period, because LeBron probably will be out the league by that time. A couple other people will probably retire by the next Olympics. I just don't see. I think the competition, I mean, look at the draft. Look at like what you just said, Lou, as far as the top five NBA players right now, mostly are foreign. We're behind the eight ball, and college don't look like we got anybody coming up, not only with the, you know, charisma or gravitas, but just the skill set. So if Cooper Flagg is supposed to be the savior of the next generation, I'm just saying the way it's proposition. I'm just saying looking forward to the future. Because obviously, I mean, you look at LeBron now, you'd be like, bro, this nigga is a rarity that we may have gotten used to so much that once he leaves, we don't know what things are going to look like. But I'm looking at the future like, bro, we're not going to be winning that much shit moving forward when we got most of our best players are going to be retired by the next Olympics. It's definitely by 2032, wherever. Yeah. Well, no, past 2028, because maybe we'll still have like KD and Steph still there, maybe. But past that, we're not going to be the favorites at all. So I'm like, man, this is what I'm looking at. I was like, this is the end of an era.
I'm trying to figure out why don't Franz Wagner play like that in the NBA? He looked damn near unstoppable, bro.
Yeah.
In the NBA.
System.
Playing for his country.
it's not even that. It's a system. I was having this conversation yesterday. There's a championship level coach and then a superstar coach. The two things that they have in common is they know how to manage ego, but their system can be broken by their star players, but everybody else plays in the system. What you watch in EuroLeague basketball is everybody plays within the system, and there's one or two stars that break it. Look at Popovich. Look at all of the dynasties, right, or the majority of the dynasties. They all had a system that was dominant.
Yeah, well, shout out to Saddam, bro. They gave the USA work. They almost had them boys, bro. Cause, and I mean, everything they were putting up, we're going. So, hey, they were playing their life depended on it. They probably did.
You was pulling for him, King.
Huh?
You was rooting for him.
No, nah, I wasn't. nah. But Yeah, they were hooping, bro. Carlique Jones and some other person. I mean, it sounded like a Scrabble board of names out there. I know. But yeah, it was good, man. What about else? I mean, anything else in the and I'm glad you mentioned that 3-point line. I was wondering if that 3-point line was shorter. Because everybody was jacking them bitches up like it was nothing. And then it looked like some of them had to change how they shot at them. But any other Olympic sports you guys looking forward to?
Of course, the sprinters. Track 100 meters. Mm-hmm. You know, especially the women. Sharika Jackson, you know, to say she started off hot but then cooled down. So there's question marks with her. Gabby, you know, say, but she's been on the up and up. And that 200 is definitely hers. But we'll see if Sharika got it. We'll see if Sharika got it. What's her name? Something Ann Frazier, Shelly Ann Frazier from Jamaica. Always had a crush on her. She's beautiful. Yeah, she's beautiful.
Nice. She is nice.
Yes.
She is nice.
So she's out there for pride. But, you know, to me, all eyes are on what's shorty name?
Simone Biles.
No, the sprinter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Sha'Carri Richardson.
Sha'Carri Richardson. That everybody want to see that 100. And then everybody want to see the 4x1 as well. The 4x1 is going to be good, men and women.
Yeah. I enjoy the Olympics overall. They do a good job of telling the story. Yeah. So anything pretty much is on, I'm going to watch it for a little bit of it. I was surprised to see Snoop going to be the flame carrier. Snoop carrying the main thing. You know?
Oh, that makes sense.
I thought that was crazy.
Yeah,
having Snoop do it makes sense.
Flame carrier, bro.
light it up.
Yeah, y'all got it, bro. I'm not a patriot.
You don't like the Olympics, kid?
No, I don't care about that.
Can't be watching the Olympics rooting for the other countries and shit.
Nah, they be saying that the Olympics are for casual people who like sports. They ain't really for sports fans.
That's true.
They're selling the story more so than anything.
Ken, you can watch it on Netflix. They have a show called Sprint. It's a doc. It's like a reality doc. It's very good, man. You can check that out. That kind of gets you into the track and field portion of the 1 to 200 men and women, and it lets you know the personality of the runners, which is really really good.
Yep.
So that's a good show to watch, even if you're a casual fan.
Yeah, because they have a season. Like, I didn't even know that. And I love track and field. You know, I always watch it on YouTube after the fact. But, you know, I never know whenever it's on TV and stuff. But that doc that Chuck is talking about is amazing. And there's also a whole bunch of podcasts that have pulled up just recently. One of them that I'm subscribed to is, what the hell is his name? Justin Gatlin. Justin Gatlin's podcast. Safa Powell has a podcast. There's a whole bunch of them that are now starting to get into that space. And it's pretty dope. It's pretty dope to hear them talk about, you know, just the mentality of a sprinter. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're like, oh, yeah, my mechanics is wrong. But it's like, bro, you just run it fast. But it's so technical what they have to do and when they have to do it. Like, it's really mind over matter. And watching them break that down is really dope.
Yeah.
My bad. Go ahead, Sean.
No, I was just gonna add on to that. People, they got a season 2 of Sprint coming out too to show the other part. And somebody mentioned in the chat about Noah Lyles. Noah Lyles is box office. He talk a lot.
He is.
And he be saying like
but he back it up.
He was talking about what he drew ire for and what he was in the news for was he was talking about the NBA basketball finals.
Yep.
He was talking world about the finals, champions. And he was like, "Yeah, he's like, how you gonna call them world champions? They ain't beat nobody in the world, you know." He caught a lot of flack for that.
He's not stupid.
For that comment. Yeah. And then they were trying to say, well, based off what they were seeing against South Sudan, he was right. They're not world champions. But yeah, it's good to watch, man. It's worth it.
But Ken, are you saying you don't watch it all or you hate watching?
I don't watch any of that shit.
No. You don't like kiss the highlights or anything? That's crazy. That is un-American, Ken. That's un-American. You gotta watch at least a diving event or something.
I feel like
just a track. Go ahead though.
No, I was saying I feel like since Beijing, it ain't really hit. I think maybe, or maybe 2012. 2012 was probably the last one that was like that hit. Ever since then, it's just I don't know. It's been just
right.
Why y'all care about the Olympics?
Ken, it's not about like the Olympics or even like the country or anything like that. It's just seeing these top tier athletes that you don't get to see every day perform at the highest level. Because especially like in sprinting, Ken, like they always talk about don't run your final in the semi. You know, say like yeah. you're always building up and storing enough energy to have it, you know, on tap for that final race. Because a lot of sprinters will run their fastest time and the semi to get to the final. They get to the final, they didn't even run their semi time. You know what I'm saying? So it's at least for the sprinters, but just overall, Ken, like these are the best people in the world doing these things that we don't get to see every day. So like yeah. to me, I just appreciate it. Because these niggas been training for 4 years for this one moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so every 4 years.
But look, to yeah. piggyback off what FIFO said, because I agree with him, like it's
lazy.
You get to watch this person. No, you get to watch this person who has like they're good at this one thing and they only mm-hmm. really compete on a major scale every 4 years. And every they probably get years, one right. chance. They probably get one chance at it, maybe two if they really good. So you're mm-hmm. looking at a person's life work. Right there in however many seconds it takes to swim yep. a meet or make a dive or whatever it may be. That's what's fascinating about it to me. Like that they were like, yep. how did you get this good at just this one thing? And you one shot to do it.
Yeah, well they have more. The thing about it is, Ken, they compete year round. They're competing all the time. So it's not mm-hmm. like they're competing one time. But this
No, I mean to clarify though, real yeah. quick, Sheldon, I mean one time to do it on this scale, which was my yes. critique about the men's basketball. Men's basketball, yes. they have a bigger chance to do it in the finals. This for everybody else that's at the Olympics. This is the finals. Biggest stage that they get. Yes.
Yeah, and this is their finals, and it's something. It's a lifetime opportunity you may never see again. So you got one race, one shot to run this race one time, and you need to run your best time, your best race, technically, and put everything you got into this one event. That's why it's worth it. And I'm with you, Ken, on most of these events. I ain't watching some of this stuff. Some of this stuff don't make no sense to me, but.
Yeah,
the sprinting I'll watch basketball, and if US is playing, I'm not watching.
Remember, they got 3-on-3 basketball this year too.
Yeah,
yep.
they do.
Ice Cube,
they stole it from them though.
They straight jacked it like nigga. That's a good idea. Let's make that an Olympic sport.
Are y'all watching the disc throwing too?
Nah,
I'm watching all
diving, diving and swimming,
water polo, cycling.
I watched golf,
yep. all of that.
Yeah, you know what's an underrated event? And I'm not saying like it's like the most like breathtaking thing to watch, but it's really cool. Archery, like archery. Seeing them dudes hit like that target the way that they do is crazy, Ken. Anything skiing, like speed skiing, anything that has to do with going fast. I'm with it, you know, swimming, skiing, all that, bobsled, watch all that.
Yeah, you know, FIFA doing too much.
Bunch of Hawkeyes and Green Arrows and shit. Hey,
so if y'all was doing one event in the Olympics besides basketball, what would it be that you would do?
Mine would be water polo. I always found that shit fascinating. Or archery, water polo or archery.
What's your name?
If I can swim, I'll do the diving.
what would you do, Ken?
Shit, I don't know. Hurdles. I'm damn sure I ain't doing no pole vault.
They got hot dogs.
I know the javelin throwing that, you know, hey, man. Throw, you know. See yeah. like
what about yours? What about you, Chef?
Damn. They ain't got hot dog eating contests in there, dude.
Mm-hmm. Hell no. Nah. You sucking down a glizzy for a man.
Oh, for real, bro. Jesus. Man, that's a lot crazy. Of them, bro.
I forgot.
Like 30, 40, 50 hot dogs at what time, bro?
Oh, man.
They got badminton, Sheldon.
Hey. Yeah. I'll be playing
boxing.
No, might be tennis.
They got horse riding, football,
football
in the Olympic sport.
Man, soccer. I saw when the U.S. just lost in football.
No, real football.
Football yeah. Americano.
The Americans lost to China, Japan. They got smoked.
See, that's crazy.
I don't know how that.
I wonder if NFL players will do it.
It was some former
NFL players. They don't get paid for that. They don't give a damn about none of that.
All right, well, we don't spend too much time on this. like we care about it.
They got ping pong too.
Who? Okay.
I'll do ping. Oh, yeah. I'll do ping pong.
All right, man. Next. It's almost y'all season, bro. So
he's back.
That's the only reason why I came back, away. Ken.
We're a month away, baby. Get this NBA shit out of here, baby. Real man sport by kickback.
Boy, the best time of the year. Ain't talking about the Olympics.
No, Nick, this is the scariest time of the year because this when your favorite player get hurt every year.
Why you always? I'm knocking on wood right now. Pause. Like, bro,
I'm saying,
we got Joe Burrow coming out like Slim Shady. We out. Hey, we ready, boy.
before we get into our top rankings for the secondary, I'm gonna kind of flip it a little bit. Anything in the offseason that interested you guys? Just looking back while we were gone, anything that's caught your attention?
Trevor Lawrence getting paid and the upcoming paydays from Tua,
Jordan Love.
Who else is getting paid popularly?
Jordan Love is not practicing until he gets his check.
Just last year, they were wondering should he even have one.
Correct. They got to pay him.
Which is cool. That's the thing about quarterbacks. This is the only position in football where, like, one year you could be like, all right, I'm getting paid the highest paid in the fucking league.
Well, I think that's the thing in professional sports. Like, you know, that contract year. Everybody always try to, you know, ball out that contract year. Everybody don't. But when you bet on yourself and that goes your way.
But you don't get the highest paid, though. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, receivers who ball out for their contract year, they don't be the number one. Like CD's not gonna be number one receiver getting paid. He's not getting more than what's his name?
He will, just won't be from Dallas.
He ain't, mm-hmm. even if he goes to another team, they're not gonna pay him more than JJ.
They will.
Why not?
They will because the scale.
I think he will, Nick, because he's next up. He's just gonna get it because he's next up.
But to your point,
it is because of they do that shit with quarterbacks. Not every position thinks that they can do that. That's what ruined it is a quarterback. Every quarterback coming next up saying, oh, well, I'm supposed to be the highest paid.
But corner is the same way.
Corner and quarterback, those the most two important positions arguably on the field. I'm not paying a receiver $20 million just because another one.
Pass rush.
Yeah, but it's
just equally as important.
Arguably top two.
Nah.
You're saying an edge rusher is better than a corner?
Can be.
Yeah. Mm. Because you don't have to cover as long if you got a great edge rusher.
Yeah. Like I put you like this, like Myles Garrett is as valuable as any other defensive player on
the field.
Micah Parsons.
Myles Garrett is the most
JJ Watt
player on the field. JJ Watt.
That's fair.
TJ Watt. Those guys are the most valuable players on the field for their team. They get to the quarterback, so you don't have to guard as long on the outside.
Yeah, but for the fact that Trevor Lawrence is getting paid almost as much as Joe Burrow going into the season or contract-wise, like moving forward, that's insane to me. And Tua is going to get a similar deal. Jordan Love's
Well, I don't know if the Dolphins are going to pay him, though.
If the Dolphins don't, somebody will.
They're going to have to.
No, somebody will. And here's the thing. I don't know if Tua's going to reset the market, but somebody's going to pay Tua. Tua's gonna get paid.
Why won't Tua reset the market?
Because of the concussion issue.
Or I should say, better question: why wouldn't the Dolphins pay Tua?
They're going.
I don't know if they're gonna pay him.
Why? They're definitely gonna pay him.
Yeah.
What other option do they have?
Everybody else locked down.
They already spent too much money on the weapons. Like we gotta have a quarterback.
All they can do is swap him for that.
Look, my thing is this: with Tua. Do you feel you could win a Super Bowl with Tua?
Bro, you can't say that about
that don't matter.
90% of the quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, that
right
don't
now.
Matter.
If I'm gonna pay Jared matter, Goff, I'm gonna pay Tua. Yeah.
Jared Goff has been to a Super Bowl before, and
he probably would have won them. I can win a Super Bowl with Tua before just as easily as I can win one with Goff. So if I'm giving golf money, I'm giving two.
I'm not going that far. I'm just saying to I think one of y'all points, Sheldon and Lou, what other options do the Dolphins have? They can't draft nobody.
Right.
Because that's gonna take time and they're gonna waste the money they paying Tyreek and Waddle. You can't you can't trade anybody really. The only one that you probably could trade for or get is Dak. And that's basically a parallel swap, you know what I'm saying?
Like let me ask you something, Nick. Are we not in the era of young quarterbacks having quick success? Like, did we not just see Brock Purdy? Did we not just see CJ Stroud?
What do you consider success, though? That's what I mean. That was
success is a winning record and or playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So we've seen young quarterbacks come in and have quick success. Now, I'm not saying that it's guaranteed because I'm just naming a handful of guys, and obviously there's a whole bunch of people that get drafted. So I'm not saying that it's a guaranteed thing. But what it's something that you would have to consider, especially when you look at somebody like Brock Purdy. Look at the roster that was around him. You could make the same argument that the Dolphins have a plethora of weapons, especially on the offensive side, with a maestro head coach that's like, hey, bro, like if I can get a guy that just does what I need him to do, that does it better than the guy we have now, I think we could be better and cheaper and still get more guys.
Well, the reason why I disagree because one, the myth is that we can get a young QB in here, and then as long as we surround them with talent, they gonna win. It hasn't worked it didn't work for the Chargers. No. It hasn't worked in Jacksonville. It hasn't worked. Like there's a plethora. Even with the young guys you can mention, we have other young guys you can't really that kind of counter that point. And then moving forward, we're talking about the AFC. We're not even talking about the NFL. We're just talking about the AFC, where they have literally 1, 2, and 3 as far as the best quarterbacks in the league. So and the number one is not, and he's the greatest I've ever seen. So it's just kind of like, how else are you really? That's why I was asking, what is success? Because like, if you just talking about the playoffs, shit, Joe Flacco took the Browns to the playoffs. That don't mean shit. He ain't getting paid. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, but he an old guy. We know what he is.
But I'm just saying, like,
wait, hold on. Because you're talking about Joe Flacco. Look at the rest of that roster. That roster is loaded, especially defensively. Right, to the point that they're not going to be able to pay everybody. There's going to be a whole bunch of people that's going to have to walk. At the end of the day, Nick, what I'm saying is sometimes situationally, especially when you have a head coach like Mike McDaniel, you say, you already know, I don't even know names like that, but I know his name, right? Because he's one of those guys. He's a Sean McVay. He's one of those guys where it's like, as long as I have my guys, I can win. So
I can't agree with you on that. What is his playoff record?
Right.
And then also,
that's directly tied to Tua.
But if you take that into consideration of where they'll be drafting, you're not just going to draft the CJ Stroud. You're not going to draft a Brock. Well, you get a Brock Purdy, but Brock Purdy is like an outlier in all of this. You can't mention him with the others because of the last pick in the draft. But those players do not grow on trees. If that was the case, a lot of these teams with quarterback issues would have had it solved by now. Sometimes you gotta dance with the one that came to you to party with you. And that's what you're going to see out of a lot of these teams. If Tua continues to have a year like he did last year, you got to resign. You have to. Because that offense was clicking for the majority of the year. And like you said, Nick, right now your ceiling could be Super Bowl still with this team, but you just want to make the playoffs and have a successful run.
There is no when you have Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson in your conference, let alone the NFL. It's like the NFC is not going to win no Super Bowl anytime soon. The AFC is dominating. And even within the AFC, if you're not the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bengals, or the Bills, you're not winning. That's what I'm saying. It's like and I bring all that to say, like, you have to pay Tua because regardless of who you have at QB, you're not going to really win. So you might as well please your fans and just have winning records and be competitive. And keep it moving and hoping that one of those teams knock each other out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, to answer your question, Ken, you asked about anything surprising. What I'm looking forward to seeing is the running back that have moved on, like Derrick Henry's and Saquon and some of those guys that have changed teams, seeing what they do with their new team. Austin Eckler.
That's who the Texans just get. He was with Cincy.
Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon.
He damn near hurt already.
He's talking spicy. He's talking spicy. But I'm interested to see that. Because that's a whole new look for all those offenses. And to see what they do. It's gonna be, who did Dallas pick up, Lou?
I knew when you started. Zeke. I knew when you started your whole soliloquy about that, that you was going to lead to Dallas. I'm interested in seeing how C.J. Stroud looking year two. They got him the weapons.
They
now.
They gassing up C.J. Stroud.
I want to see this. I want to see what he do with a clear cut number one and the other weapons. Joe Mixon and running back defense is solid. Solid head coach, we think. So I'm going to be paying close attention to what happens in Houston. And
why are you saying gassing, Nick? Oh, my bad. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Because to start the season,
and then we'll do the list next.
They were 3-4. The Texans were 3-4 to start the season, and they ended up hot. I'm not saying Stroud is overrated or I'm just saying like he had a hell of a rookie season, right? But again, they in the AFC and they did load up on offense and they got some good defense. And I do fuck with D'Amico, but I don't really see the Texans doing more than what they did last year. I think they get to the same spot at best.
I think that's a win for them.
That is a win. And I think it depends on the matchup too, how far they go. Because I think that there are teams in the AFC that they match up with that they could beat.
The four that I mentioned, do you see them beating them?
Well, I think the
Bengals, the Bills, or the Chiefs.
One of them is going to have a bye. Exactly. I think they could beat the Bills. And I think now with the additional weapons, I think that they can give the Ravens a run for their money now. Like you just not going to beat us by 20. Like, we not last year's Texans. Like we going to put up some points.
They struggled with them last year in the playoffs. So, you know,
it was close.
So
I know.
Yeah. I know we have a long way to go before we get into deeper NFL conversation. But, yeah, I'm a bit concerned about C.J. Stroud's sophomore season. I don't know. You know, he just, hey man, sometimes you catch fire, bro. But they say, and we'll do the list next. They're saying Caleb looking all right too. Mm-hmm. Caleb looking all right, man. So we'll see.
And the Bears won 7 games last year. And it ain't no guarantee that the Packers gonna be good.
If the Bears win less than 7 games,
they're gonna fire.
They're not. They have the weakest schedule in the league.
I'm just saying, if the Bears win less than 7 games,
but somebody, the coach lucky to be back. So if they even start out struggling, they firing their coach. That's quick.
That's underrated.
Short leash. He's on a super short leash because he has all the weapons necessary to be successful, and they want to make sure that they give Caleb the best shot ever.
Mm-hmm. And he better not go 0-2.
0-2, that's gonna be Carlos. Hey, he gonna be like Joe Biden. It's gonna be like Joe Biden, and they trying to get him out of there 0-2, bro. Like, we gotta get him gone, bro.
I'm gonna tell you this right now. This is the year of the head coaches, because we're gonna see a lot of coaches getting fired this year based on their record. A lot of them.
Who? Name me a couple. I know we're going long. Name me two.
Sirianni's on the hot seat, and McCarthy's on the hot seat. I want to argue one of the AFC North coaches is on the hot seat, and you already know which one I'm looking at.
Zach Taylor.
Trying to get Mike Tomlin fired since I started this show.
I'm not even saying Mike Tomlin right now.
Yeah. You're talking about Harbaugh.
I'm talking about Harbaugh or Stefanski.
All right. Plenty of takes to come. But let's get into these atrocious lists, as they were referred to earlier, with James the secondary. Maybe FIFO has a point. Trying to combine them all into one doesn't help make for a sexy list. But my problem would be trash anyway. So I know I may have been one of them because I don't know, I'm not good at
it. And I redid the list too. So I have an actual DB 10, not a safety and cornerback 10.
So we're going to start with Spike. Mm. If he's ready, trash list on, so I'm gonna go
get it out of the way.
Spike. Yeah, we're gonna do Spike.
So starting with the best, you go from first to worst.
Yeah, we're gonna do Spike, Shelton, FIFO, Algo, and then Nick.
Y'all gonna hit
me in my name
for sure. I'll see if I can remember that too, by the way.
Am I doing all 10 or 5?
We doing 10 or 5? I thought we were doing 10.
No, I'm saying right now. Okay, when we go to each person, everybody's naming all 10 of theirs.
I thought we was going one at a time.
Yeah, that's like what I mean. 10,
9, 8.
Oh,
yeah, 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 yeah. All 10. All 10.
Just do all 10. No, no. So all 10.
Oh, I thought we were going to all do 10, then all do 9, then all do 8. Like we normally do our list.
Yeah, he said we ain't doing that.
Oh, go ahead, dude.
I wasn't trying to be.
That was a tough move.
All right. Nah, look. What you gonna say, kid? That ain't my list. That's Sheldon's list right there. So y'all put Sheldon up.
Yeah, that's my list.
Okay, here go, man. All right. Number 10,
of course,
Trayvon Diggs. Oh, absolutely. Got to get some Cowboys represent. You know how. Best cornerback in the league when he was playing. Got hurt last year. I think he's going to pop back with a vengeance. Number 9, still Tyrann Mathieu. Think he still does his thing as far as that Saints defense and how good it is. Number 8 is Denzel Ward. I think he did his thing last year and will continue to be strong. Number 7 is Jair Alexander. Even though he does say stupid shit sometimes, he's still a hell of a cornerback. FIFO, you'll remember Javon Holland from our Madden League. I put the world on him, so I had to put him high on my list. So definitely Javon Holland and 5 through 1. Jarius Sneed, I want to see what he does for the Titans. Shouldn't be that much pressure on him, but I still consider him a lockdown corner. Minka Fitzpatrick, I think, is one of the most dominant defensive backs in the league right now. Fortunately, he plays safety, so I couldn't put him in front of the other people. Patrick Surtain, second best corner in the league, so I got him at 3. Kyle Hamilton's the best safety in the league, so I got him at 2. And Sauce Gardner, even though they play primarily zone defense, I ain't sure how he stack up man to man, but overall, I'll take him first in my defensive back.
All right. Okay.
He went with a safe list.
Yeah. Y'all frame that list right there. That's the best list you're going to see tonight. List.
Kyle Hamilton is too high, but yeah.
Yeah.
Kyle Hamilton is a dog.
I didn't say
capital
he was.
D.
He ain't number 2 dog in the league.
No, he's the best safety in the league.
No, he's not.
What?
Jesse Bates. I'm surprised you ain't got Jesse Bates on the list.
He's not even the best safety on his team.
I'm not putting no white defensive backs on my list, bro.
Jesse Bates ain't white.
He got a white sounding name, bro. But
Jesse Bates white. I don't care what y'all say.
Jesse Bates.
That's why I kept scrolling. Every time I seen him on any list I was looking up, I just kept scrolling.
Hey, first of all,
man.
You ain't gonna never hear no white man come out of me prop up like that. Jesse Bates is black. He light skin.
Shelton.
Yeah.
What you got, bro?
All right, my top 10, man, is more realistic. My top 5 was close though.
More real.
At 10, I got Shavarius Ward. I felt like he played some lockdown defense last year. At 9, I do have Kyle Hamilton. I think that he's going to step up. He might be right, Spike, by the end of the year, but not right now.
Number 9 is crazy.
Yeah. At 8, give me Jalen Ramsey. I think Jalen Ramsey's going to have a great bounce back year. 7, give me Jesse Bates. He's the pick master. He always getting them picks, and turnovers is everything. 6, give me Jalen Johnson. He had the highest he was the number 1 rated corner this year, stat-wise. So
on the back end of the year, not the whole year.
So, moving forward, I think he's going to be tough this year if he can stay healthy. And at 5, me, like I said, Lou, we were real close. Give me LeJarius Sneed. Sneed deserves a mention because he did a hell of a job for Kansas City, and they're going to miss him in that defense for sure. At 4, give me Minka Fitzpatrick. He deserves a lot of respect because he is a game changer, and he won a couple of those games for Pittsburgh. They would not have winning records without him. 3, give me Patrick Surtain. He's one of the best corners in the league. He had a down year by his standards, of course, but he's still that guy. At 2, give me Antoine Winfield Jr.
He's the top safety in the league to me. He does it on all three levels. He plays ball tremendously. And at one, give me South Carolina. That's cap.
And that's cap. Pause and that's cap. Both of them. It's cap and pause. That's a random double right there.
Antoine Wendy?
Cap. Man, stop.
Top rated safety in the game.
People, I don't know what list we're gonna go with you, bro.
Yeah, no. Don't put no graphics up for me. Don't put no graphics up for me. Because, like I said, it was wrong. It was, yeah, everybody bounced.
We switched.
Right, bet. So at number 10, I'm in agreement with Shelton, Antoine Winfield, arguably the best safety, especially on paper. At number 9, give me Denzel Ward. At number 8, give me Jesse Bates. At number 7, give me Jalen Ramsey. At number 6, give me Kyle Hamilton. At number 5, give me Charvarius Ward. At number 4, give me Minka Fitzpatrick. At number 3, give me Jair Alexander. At number 2, give me Patrick Tan. Number 1, give me Sauce.
Mm. Hey, you got Jair there,
huh? Mm-hmm. He's the third best corner.
Y'all gonna hate my list. Absolutely hate it.
Oh yeah.
This is the best for last.
Then I guess
this the I got the unsung hero list.
Jamal Adams.
Oh yeah, this nigga got white
cornerbacks on his list. I can already tell.
Cooper DeJean is white.
You got the white dude on there.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and get my shit out the way. Let me go ahead and get this out the way. But looking at y'all, I don't think my list all that bad. Number 10, I got Brian Branch. Number 9, Charvarius Ward. And number 8, Jalen Ramsey. Y'all said he was dead, man. He just got hurt last year, but he came back.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. He was making some plays. They tried to get him a couple of times. He wouldn't let him. Number 7, Antoine Winfield Jr. And number 6, moving into the 5-1, I have Jalen Johnson. So let's look at this top 5. Top 5, I have Kyle Hamilton. Number 4, Trent McDuffie. 3, Jesse Bates. 2, Patrick Surtain. And number 1 is Sauce.
Solid list, Ken.
Hey, man. You know.
You like Trent better than Snead?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's still there, ain't he?
That's their number 1 corner.
they couldn't afford Snead. They could afford Trent.
Yeah,
no, like, that's all it was. Now they argue like Trent really the better one than Snead.
We can't pay Snead. We might as well keep Trent.
Let me get to my unsung hero award ones. Y'all gonna hate my 6-10.
Oh shit!
There we go.
Hey, Jalen, take this off the screen, bro.
Oh, my Jalen, God, Jalen, get this bro. What screen, in the man. Hell?
Why you let him play
Julian
with you?
Julian Love?
Let's get together, bro.
Let me go with this. Number 10, Cam Taylor-Britt.
Rasul Douglas is disgusting. That is disgusting.
Cam Taylor-Britt is going to be a top 5 corner this year. I bet put that on Stone. Geno Stone is on the Bengals now. You know what I'm saying? He going to be in the safety. We going to bring it back. Rasul Douglas, I want to give a shout out to him because he went from Green Bay and Buffalo, helped that defense. Buffalo was actually better once he got there. They were actually really projected to, you know, obviously for the quarterback. Julian Love, underrated. Hella tackles. I think it was top 10 interceptions as well. But those are my 4 unsung heroes. This is the realist moves up. Kyle Hamilton.
Julius don't sound like a nigga to play on power. I ain't even going to hold
Gino Stone.
I'll tell you. This is like the creative characters on the game. That's what they look like. I ain't no
name. That's Ken's top.
That's not
give me.
That's
not me. My top 5, I had at number 5, I have Antoine Whitfield Jr., actually. Wait for y'all to see that.
We'll need to see your list, Nick.
Bruh, don't do that.
I think Jalen on strike. He like, fuck that. I ain't putting this shit on TV, man. That nigga threw the phone down.
I can't stand y'all. Y'all always do this to me.
Go ahead and read your list, Nick.
All right. Number five, Antoine Winfield Jr. Number four, Lou, shout out to the Cowboys.
That's sick having Deron Bland at number four, bro. You know that's sick. And I'm a Cowboys fan.
Number three, I got Treveris Ward. Number two, I got Jesse Bates. And obviously, number one, I got Sauce.
You copied this bitch from like,
I don't have
did this from USA.
Had a bad, bro. Pat gave up 70 points. I'll put that what y'all say. Y'all can't tell me nothing. Mika ain't on my list. Pat ain't on my list, bro. That nigga had a bad year.
It was Winfield.
No, I got Jesse.
Hey, I am a Cowboys fan through and through, bro. Putting Deron Bland at four was insane.
He single handedly won y'all some games, bro.
That man was getting torched the last half of the season. Torched. You crazy, Nick. You're a wild boy. Wild boy, Nick.
I don't know what happened. I don't even know who we are. 10 through 6 was just made up people. You picked them names out of hat.
I'm telling you, I'm projecting those. Look, we're going to be talking about them later on this year.
Rasul Douglas. He been signed a bunch of 1-year contracts all over the league.
No, he was. He was with Green Bay for a minute.
Rasul Douglas played in the NBA for a minute.
He was with Saskatchewan last year.
Trying to get us back to where we were, all of us on screen. But yeah, that was interesting, Nick. Bland, bro. I just don't understand.
I got high hopes for him this year. He was a difference maker.
I got high hopes for him too.
Okay. All right. There we go then. That was it. I thought I was gonna have the worst list, but apparently not.
No.
Nick stole the show again.
Yeah, we definitely gonna have to do
in true Nick fashion.
Geno Stone. I can't Geno wait to see the rest of the list.
Geno Stone wouldn't even make his own list. They ask him, hey man, listen, top 10 corners. Where you at? I'm down here 58. I'm down here 58.
He would be on the top 10 in his team.
Real quick, Spike, do you have you don't have a power ranking this week, do you?
Mm-mm, not this week. No. I don't.
Okay, cool. Yeah, but I just saw it on here. I just wanted to make sure. The only other thing I want to get to, Summer League. Summer League is over. We're talking about how
for winning the championship.
I guess.
No one gives a damn about that shit.
How the league, the world is catching up. But the top two picks from France play like ass. Like them, they were freaking awful. And I was just kind of catching up on a couple of, you know, recaps of Summer League. And it looks like really the standout was that white boy that Houston picked up. Shepherd. Cunningham, whatever his name is. Yeah. He looks
my boy. He's the last of Calipari's, right?
Probably him and
because Calipari went to Arkansas. He's head coach of Arkansas now, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Him and what's the name in Minnesota?
Yeah,
the one they traded for. Yeah, they traded for him.
Yeah,
Scotty. Oh yeah, they said he was iffy too.
He was.
Yeah, but it's summer league. You could, I mean, you know, Victor had some bad games, and look at what he did. So you gotta take some of this stuff with a grain of salt. But you know, my guy is over there in LA, man. Connect four. I think I'm rocking with him, Shelton. I think I'm on board, man. I think I'm on board, bro. Yeah, I think I might be on board.
I thought you was talking about Bronny for a minute.
I'm about to get to Bronny. Hey, man, Bronny came on strong. Nick,
he did close out.
Hey man, he settled in. Man. I don't know, Nick. I think he might got it, bro.
Got
he's what? The 55th pick. why are we treating like this guy is a top two pick? Can you started off this thing talking about that the top two picks look like trash, right? Why are we worried about the 55th pick like that?
Because it's LeBron James' son. That's all. Bro, I was reading that no one cared about the top two picks. When they were getting on the court, people were leaving to go watch Bronny play.
Mm-hmm.
People are fascinated with this kid that can't, at least through the couple of first games, show he couldn't play a lick. But FIFA, I'm telling you, man, I watched him, and it looked like he started to kind of settle in a little bit.
Yeah, I've always said I think he has championship role player DNA. But at that size, I think that you have to have something that's tier one, something. Defense, lateral quickness, jumping ability, ball handling, shooting, something. And when I watch him play, nothing screams tier one to me. Like, just give me one thing that's tier one. We're talking about an NBA roster. You know what I'm saying? I just don't see that. I think he could play basketball. I think he could play in the NBA, but he got to show me something, Ken, I hadn't seen yet.
People about to say, I think he could play basketball. That's the only compliment he could get.
Yeah.
Has your opinion changed, FIFO? You said championship role player's DNA. Do you still think that after watching him?
Yeah, because I think that's his ceiling. That's his ceiling. So, you know, does he accomplish the ceiling? I don't know. You know, when you're evaluating talent, you got to project what is the best version of this particular player given 3 to 5 years from the time that we draft him. What can he be? At the best, Bronny is a championship role player. But championship role players all do at least one thing at the tip top. At least one thing. And when I watch Bronny, he's solid across the board, but there's not one thing that's like, oh, he could do that. That is, okay, cool. He could shoot the three ball. We know he's going to be 38%+ from three. Or we know that, oh, he can handle the rock, or he has elite quickness. He can get to the bucket, or he can play make. Like, what does he do that's elite that makes him a championship role player? I don't see it.
I'm just saying.
He ain't solid across the board. You can't call him that whatsoever. He's mediocre across the board is what I would call him.
Altogether. Semantics, but I agree with your words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because solid is something else. Solid, and you're right. At the level that he's at, and I think I told y'all this before, my brother went to an NBA camp, and they told him in the camp, him and several other players that were really talented, by the way, they said, I know some of you guys in this room could probably score 20 points in the league right now, but that's not what we're looking for out of you. We're looking for players to fill certain roles. What would that role be for Bronny? I don't know. I don't see anything on the offensive end because he's not a ball handler. He's not a shooter. He's a decent defender. That's the only position you could think about, but you got to play both ends in basketball, unfortunately, for him. And on the offensive end, he's a liability at best. So the only thing I can see for him is being a camp body. Jaylen Brown tried to tell everybody he is not an NBA player.
Jaylen Brown didn't try to tell everybody. He was talking to the people on the sideline that was with him. He was talking to the baddies, just hating. Like, yeah.
Well, Bronny gonna prove all y'all wrong, man. He looked way more comfortable in the last couple of games. Yep, watch.
I hope he does. I hope he does. I just don't think that a few of the points that Shelton was making, like, he offensively, it's not there. Like, you can look at him and see that he doesn't have the talent of an offensive NBA player. Like, so you see that, and then defensively, he just seems to be like too small. Like, he's 6'1". Like 185, 190. Like, he ain't bodying and guarding nobody up in the NBA. So he'll do that first game with Bron, and they'll get the photo op or whatnot, and then we'll never hear from Bronny again.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be something to that nature. They say he could be
Marcus Smart. It's funny, but I don't even and Paul's. I don't even think he's big enough. Like, Marcus Smart, like 6'4".
Super Bron, yeah.
And he's like 220. Yeah, he's like 6'4", 220, something like that. LeBron's 6'1", Bronny's 6'1", 185, 190. That's not big enough in the NBA.
No.
They said LeBron.
If you don't have a superpower.
Exactly, FIFA, 100% right. If you don't have a superpower, like, he's not big enough.
Yeah. Because can you imagine prime Isaiah Thomas? And I'm talking about the Celtics Isaiah Thomas, averaging 30 at 5'9".
Like, what's Bronny going to do with it? Like, he would have gave Bronny 60.
Imagine AI, bro. AI, like you said, the same thing.
Yeah.
Some of these guys did reinvent themselves. You look at Pat Bev and what he was able to. Pat Bev in college was a scorer. And he was a damn good scorer in college, but he came to the NBA and found a niche on the defensive end. He was never great at nothing.
I couldn't see Bronny playing defense like Pat Bev.
Right.
He flipped it. But I don't know what he's gonna be. I just know he ain't it. That's it.
Yeah, that is it. But I think
Pat Bev. Hold on, Pat Bev averaged like 30 a game in high school.
That's what I'm saying.
Like 20 something in college.
Yeah. He said he was scoring.
That's my point. He was a scorer coming into the league. That was what his role was, but he flipped it. He had to flip it and turn into a defender and put that out. You know, that's how he stayed in the league. That was the only way he stayed in the league.
Pat Bev averaged 20 in college.
Yeah, he was
20 something.
He used to give people the business.
I got
you. Say he was light skinned? You say he was light skinned?
No, I say he was
nice. He said nice.
I was like, damn, yeah. Pat Bev was light skinned?
Nah, he used to get people.
I'm going to go to YouTube and see if I can find this.
Yeah, look up Pat Bev. Yeah, he used to hoop. Yeah.
Mm.
But.
All right. But yeah, you know, I don't know, man. I think he was just nervous, you know. So we'll see. But they're going to get their photo op and it'll be what it is. Anything else you guys have?
Hey, did y'all see the Jeff T talking about the NASA?
With White House.
He's an amazing teammate.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting to think about because you do forget. He was like, people forget he was drafted before Giannis was in the league. So he's not the scrub that everybody makes him out to be.
Oh, he is.
He was saying, like, just, you know, for just as many, you know, them goofy highlights you got of him, you got real highlights. And he said he was a skilled basketball player that made a difference. He told a story about how, you know, they were down, I guess, I don't know when it was, but they were down like 0-2 because he had COVID. And you know, Giannis couldn't function without him there. And his leadership abilities showed themselves when he came back and they were able to push through. So a lot that he adds to the table by being his presence means a lot to that team. And that's crazy because, you know, he's the punchline, the butt of a lot of jokes. But, you know, people like that are necessary on certain teams for success. And not just teams in basketball. I'm talking about teams in life. You got certain people who may not have the skill set of others, but they mean a lot to the group. And that's what he That was pretty dope to hear.
This is the
I just want to point out. I just want to point out, Sean, there was a paid advertisement by him for the podcast.
I was going to say.
The whole story was a paid advertisement.
Oh, I was going to say, these are the stories you hear about in the Olympics. Niggas.
Right. Who is?
Shit. Jeff Teague was talking about how when Milwaukee went down 0-2 in the finals was because the Nassus had COVID.
That's what, yeah.
And, yeah, and Giannis was like, yo, like, where's Giannis, the Nassus? Yeah. Where's the Nassus?
Come on, y'all. Like, what are we doing?
We're not doing
Hey, look, he also said, you know, the lowlights are hilarious. He says he laughs at them too, but he said, go look at the highlights. He was drafted before Giannis.
People said all that I just said.
where were you at, people?
I didn't hear that part. My bad.
Hey, y'all are crazy, man.
You said word for word. I thought people would give us more insight. You said word
for word. Sure didn't.
That's funny.
Hey, dude.
That's how you know that story trash. I thought when you hear it twice, it don't sound good either.
I thought he was translating in another language and I understood it. That's
funny. That the NASA's bill was the last thing on my bingo card. I thought I would have clicked it. Y'all got that. Really, he a glue guy. He a glue guy. Really, he hold everything together. We went down 0-2. And, like, what? Y'all talking about?
What the NASA's at? Okay. All right, man. I'm going to read these members chat and a super chat. And then we'll call it a night. Real quick from Adrian Wells. What's good, everyone? Appreciate you. 33 months, remember? I saw a tweet. Man. Yeah. From Kyle that said, this show started 12 years ago. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yep. Trump shooter took tips from Jalen Hurts. That's from Rob Costa.
Couldn't get a wide open target. That sounded about right.
That's crazy. That's crazy. In the last 3 weeks, the most historical things in U.S. history have happened. And we laugh at every single one of them.
Hey, after COVID,
we don't know what else to do.
I'm just saying, we had an assassination attempt. Oh,
The president dropped out.
President dropped out, and we might have a black woman president. Like, it's
crazy. And we all and just like, damn.
Nothing but jokes.
That's funny.
Drink more water. Been a while. How do you see the future of Team USA faring next Olympics? Do you trust the young crop to carry the weight versus the best international player?
We talked about that earlier. Drink more. Appreciate that. What's going on? Drink more water. But yeah, no, it's not. It's not looking good.
It's the end of the era.
They need to start grooming these college players. I'm telling you.
Maybe in badminton.
Or 3-on-3. Mm. Maybe 3-on-3 will win that.
We'll see. We'll see. Marty McFly, that's the last one. Settle me and my younger cousin debate. Better running back all time. I guess it's Tomlinson, LaDainian Tomlinson versus
Adrian Peterson. That is awesome. That's an awesome debate.
It is. I think AP's the better runner. Like the better pure runner, like
Can we have a conversation?
I'm gonna get to the point. Let me get to where we're going. I think AP is the better runner of the football, and one of the most like pure. Bro, I remember when he broke his collarbone and still played the rest of the game. You know, say in college. Like, this dude is crazy. But I think LT's the better overall running back because he could do it in the run game. He wasn't that much of a slouch compared to AP in the run game, but he's way better with the ball in the air, catching passes.
Using slouch and LT in the same sentence is crazy.
Yeah.
This dude is the prototype for running backs that you want in 2024, and he played 15 years ago. AP, I agree with you. FIFO dominant. If we were adding in college years as well, and you got to add the freshman and sophomore year at Oklahoma, then maybe it'd be a different story. But LT in the pros, top two.
Who's top number two one? Easy.
Don't say Emmitt.
I mean, come on. Who has the most rushing yards? In the history of the NFL.
That's why we don't listen to you.
You don't even believe that.
Barry Sanders, number one. Come on.
Who has the most rushing yards in the history of the NFL? Come on.
Barry Sanders if he didn't quit.
Who you got? Who you got, Shelton?
Give me LT. I love what AP was able to do his whole career from college on up, but give me LT. LT, he was one of the greatest to do it.
And he set the standard for ACL recovery.
Shelton, I saw lightning, bro. And is it raining over there?
Yeah, I hear thunder. So
yeah, I saw it was a lot of lightning back there. I'm going with Adrian Peterson, bro.
Adrian
Peterson. Hey man, that guy
was a monster kid.
Monster. LT was most successful. How many conference championship games did Adrian Peterson go to?
He only went to one.
Hey, isn't that team based, bro?
Yeah. LT only went to one.
Mm-hmm. LT went to two, I believe.
No, I thought he only went. I thought the Chargers only went to one.
They went to two. They went to that one where the Patriots stomped out. They signed, and I think they went the year after that, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm going with AP though. AP was just, if we're talking about just purebred running back, I'm not even going to caveat it. AP was. To watch him from the rookie year to even till towards the end, bruh, he came back in the ACL with 3 months later and ran for 2,000 yards. Like, bro, come on. I know LT
as a overall running back, I do agree with you, Spike Lee. Like, he is the prototype, him and Marshall Faulk, for what we want running backs to be like now. But I'm sorry, bro. AP was just a different breed. I don't think we'll ever see a running back like that again.
Yeah.
There's not a wrong answer.
No, I agree with that. It's not a wrong answer for that.
Mm-mm. Shit, I may go with Marshall Faulk over LT, bro.
Ooh, that's stop it, Marshall, man. Marshall Faulk versus LT might be a good one.
Yeah, Marshall, they're the same guy. Hey. It's like the same mode. It's like MJ and Kobe. It's that's the same mode. Mm.
Yeah.
You might be too young to remember Marshall Faulk.
No, I remember Marshall Faulk. He got to be talking to Nick. Nah. He's talking to Nick. He's got to be talking to Nick. I know he's
not talking to me. Greatest show on turf.
I remember that Rams team.
Muhammad and I hated that.
I remember Marshall Faulk at San Diego State. I remember him there, San Diego State, going crazy.
That was something else too. Mm. Man, I remember Marshall Faulk with the Colts before they got Edgerrin James.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Marshall Faulk was special.
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. And Ant-Man said he was remember when the first episode dropped. All right, man.
Hey, Ant-Man.
Triple OG. Appreciate you. Yeah. But yeah, man. Yeah, that's all we got, man. We just, you know, coming back, warming up, stretches, you know, a little bit. We've been gone for a couple of weeks.
This training camp.
Yeah.
OTAs.
Yeah.
That's the OTAs, hey, Lou, for that is.
Lou, Michael Gallup retired today. Did you see that?
Michael Gallup retired?
Yeah.
Thank God. The salary off our books.
He's 1 year away.
He retired last year. But he just got to let everybody know.
The Cowboys
never lived up to the yeah, bill.
5 years in a row, they was like, bro, he next up.
He's like Will Smith.
And I would draft this stupid ass every year on fantasy, thinking it was going to be the year late, too. I was like, I got me a steal here.
that's funny, but
all right, man. Yeah, that's gonna do it for us, man. We appreciate you guys. We'll be back next Tuesday, 9 p.m. And next week we are doing, let's see, I have it down here, our top 10 defensive linemen. FIFO, that also includes edge rushers and defensive tackles. So, yeah.
So, is that also outside linebackers?
Nah.
I already started working on my list.
But that's an edge rusher, though. All right, we'll clarify it.
We'll work it out.
That shit don't make no sense.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, well, we'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.